If you have your Bibles with me, we're going to do like Apostle, grab them. I hope you have not your iPad, but your Bible. If you're at home, you got your Bible. Once you lift your Bible up and say, this is the Word of God. I believe this is God talking to me. I believe everything in it. Everything that comes out of it will affect my life for the better. This is God's will manifested in my life. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Apostle has been teaching us the second phase of our vision, which is to equip the body of Christ to evangelize the world. And this morning, I want to stay in that same vein with him and talking about that. I preached a message in camp meeting. If you haven't a chance to go and watch it, I want you to go and watch it because it'll definitely change your life. The title of the message was Don't Be Distracted. And Apostle has been giving us God's original plan for us as Christians. And so it's Satan's objective is to distract us from that. And so even with this pandemic, with this virus, with COVID-19, with all the chaos that's happening, all the peaceful protests and the riots and our government bickering amongst each other, all those are distractions. People losing their jobs, businesses being shut down, businesses trying to open. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you independent? All those are distractions from God's original purpose for us here. And so this morning, we're going to go through and we're going to understand how to avoid those distractions. Let me start off with this. The first way you avoid that distraction is to not have God with you. Listen with me now. Not to have God with you, but you be with him. There's a difference. There's a difference than God having God with us. Having God with us means we're trying to pull God on our agenda. In Joshua, the fifth chapter, right before he went to the wall of Jericho, and an angel of the Lord showed up to Joshua. And Joshua was getting ready to say, like, you know, who you with? You with us? Or are you with them? The angel said, I ain't with neither one of y'all. I'm with the Lord of hosts. Now, the question, really what the angel was saying, the question is, who you with? See, when God has given us as Christians the ability to rise above the fray, not to be involved with man's agenda, but to be involved with his agenda. Go with me, Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Watch this. Man has his own agenda for you. That's right. Man has an agenda that he's already decided for your life. But God has an agenda for your life also. So watch this. Watch this, Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Let me get there. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the fifth verse. It says, thus said the Lord. Now, who said this? The Lord. Thus said the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart, whose soul, whose mind, whose focus is departed from the Lord. See, Satan's objective is to get you distracted off of what God has called us to do. Matter of fact, they wanted Jesus so bad, they kept referring to Jesus as the King of the Jews, the King of the Jews, the King of the Jews. Why they kept referring to Jesus as the King of the Jews? Because they wanted Jesus to come and change the political environment of that time. Jesus said, I didn't come to deal with your political views. I come to seek and to save those who are lost. So if Jesus' assignment when he was on earth was to seek and to save those who were lost, the agenda has not changed. That's right. Come on. Now you have a choice in your life. You can choose man's agenda for your life, or you can choose God's agenda for your life. See, we have people now fussing and fighting about, they're telling us we can't come to church and we can't meet and we can only do this or we can only do this. Stop fussing and fighting about that. Stop. Stop fussing and fighting about that, because guess what? Whether they tell us we can come to church or not come to church, the apostles already told us we ain't coming back till the Lord say come back. So they really have no dictatorship over what we do. So what is it's a distraction for you to be worrying about what they're doing about telling you what you can't do. It's a distraction. But God gives us the ability to rise above that. Are you going to be dependent on man's agenda for your life? Or are you going to be dependent on God's agenda for your life? Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Watch this. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I'm going to start at the fourth verse because I want to read the fourth and fifth verse. The fourth and fifth verse. I want to read them to you. So I'm going to start at the fourth verse. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, we are blessed here at Word of Life. Why are we blessed? Because we get this every Sunday, every Tuesday, every time apostle steps in the pulpit, we know, watch this, what's going to happen to us? What we're going to hear is preaching, not with the words of man's wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So not man's wisdom, but of Spirit and of power. Why? Watch this. Verse 5. That your faith, that's my word here, my word assignment, that your assignment should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we see that when we hear preaching, see, we got to let this word affect our life. We got to let what apostles are saying come in. See what I mean by that. Some of you all right now don't like the challenge. You don't like the challenge that apostles given us, that we ought to get out of ourselves and become more open to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of us don't like that challenge, but that challenge is there to lift us above the fray. Watch this. Either I'm going to Romans 12 and 1. Turn there. Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1. We have to accept this challenge because this challenge, watch this. This challenge is just like when Moses told him, put the blood over the doorpost. They had never seen that before. They had never heard of that before. It was uncomfortable. It was different. It was something that didn't make sense. So, but when they put that blood on the doorpost, that death angel came and had to pass over. See, when you put yourself smack dab in the middle of God's agenda, all destruction got to pass over your house. All destruction got to pass over your house when you put yourself smack dab in the agenda of God. What is the agenda of God? To seek and to save those who are lost. Now, in order to be in God's agenda, I remember years ago I read a book by Dr. Henry Blackaby called The Seven Realities of Experiencing God. And one of the things that he talked about was you must make major sacrifices to be involved in the will of God. Major sacrifice. Watch this. Verse 1. Here's the Apostle Paul reading to us and talking to us and giving us instructions. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So here it is, the Apostle Paul telling us that we have to present our bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That means a live sacrifice. So that means, watch this, most sacrifices that we've known about in the Old Testament were dead. But this particular sacrifice, he's saying that you got to present your body a what? Living sacrifice. Meaning, I'm alive, but something in me got to die. I'm alive, but something in me got to die. Now watch, he tells us in the next verse what has to die. Glory to God. And be not conformed to this world. That's what has to die. Your agenda for your life and the agenda that man has decided for your life has got to die. Those agenda have to die in your life, which means, watch this, which means I cannot go to my job for the same reason as everybody else. I can't run my business for the same reason that everybody else is running a business. I can't even be retired for the same reason everybody else is retired. Oh. I have to do those things based on God's agenda for my life. So now it changed. Watch this. You have to change your life. See, most Christians are in survival mode.
Right, right.
Why they're in survival mode? They're in survival mode because they're conforming. Why they're conforming? Because they haven't become a living sacrifice. You haven't given up your agenda for your life. You're trying to make God fit into your dreams instead of you fit into his dreams. You're trying to say, God, this is what I want. And God is telling you, this is what I want you to do. And you're saying, God, this is what I want to do. God is saying, no, this is what I want you to do. So it's a tug of war. It's a tug of war. Sometimes your things are going good. Sometimes things are going bad. Sometimes things are going good. Sometimes things are going bad. It's a tug of war. God is saying, I want, not only did God, you and God arguing, but man is telling you, no, I want you to do this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch what happens when you are not conformed to this world and your mind is being transformed. Watch what happens. It says when you do those things, first of all, you become a living sacrifice. In other words, you set your agenda for your life on the side.
Right.
When I say your agenda, I'm talking about what you think you ought to be doing. What you thought, your life has all been mapped out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to earn this amount of money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this done. All those things you have planned out. All the things. So what that's saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying, I need you to be a living sacrifice. What means I need you to put all those things on the shelf. Put all those things on the shelf and come and say, God, I'm yielding myself to you. When you do that, you put yourself in a position not to be conformed to this world. I don't have to live the same lifestyle. I don't have to be the one going through the troubles that the world system is going through because of COVID-19. I could be living in this world, but yet I'm living in another whole dimension. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek what God wants first. I can tell you right now, what God wants, God is wants you to be about his father's business. He wants you to, wherever you go, you have to, watch this. Most Christians are in survival mode, but you need to get in kingdom mode. Which means, God, I'm now changing my life to just being in existence for me, to now I'm changing everywhere I go to a mission field. Everywhere I go becomes a mission field. I ain't got to go to Africa. I ain't got to go to Asia. I ain't got to go to South America. I can go right around the corner from my house, and it is my mission field. Are you hearing this? Now watch what happens when you yield yourself. You become a living sacrifice. In other words, I'm alive, but some stuff that I want is dying. I'm dying to some stuff that I want. I'm dying to some of the ideas I had for my life because God has better ideas for me. Watch what happens. Be not conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind with the word of God. Watch what happens. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So watch this. Watch this. If I don't become a living sacrifice, meaning I'm alive, but I'm going to kill some of these ideas I got for myself. You got to kill them. God ain't going to kill them. God ain't going to make them die. You got to make them die. When you make them die, it makes room for when your mind is renewed for you to recognize God's ideas for your life. But God is not going to push your ideas out of the way. God is going to sit there and wait till you remove those ideas for your life and allow him to fill your mind with his ideas for your life. Are you seeing this? So we have to put ourselves in a position to get out of survival mode in the kingdom mode. How do I get out of survival mode in the kingdom mode? I get out of survival mode by becoming a living sacrifice. I'm going to just make up my mind. I'm going to get over this fear. I'm going to get over this fear of talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. I'm going to just make up my mind. I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to get over this, all these limitations that Satan is trying to distract me with from being able to get in God's will for my life. Apostle said something like, turn me to Luke, the 5th chapter. Apostle, man, I was sitting in my seat and I was just sitting there just, and when he went over the scripture, it just hit me and I couldn't grasp it all. So I went home and began to meditate it all. In Luke, the 5th chapter, here it is. I don't know why we missed this. I don't understand why we missed this. Here it is in Luke, the 5th chapter. Professional fishermen. These are professional fishermen. This is what they do. What you a professional at? What you a professional at? These are professional fishermen. They allowed Jesus to use their profession. What Jesus was doing when he used their profession? He was ministering to people. He was seeking and saving those who were lost. Those fishermen who were cleaning their net that allowed Jesus to go into their boat to use their business, to use their employment as his mission field. We see when Jesus finished, Jesus turned around and told him and say, launch out into the deep. Business people, I hope you're listening to me. All business people, I hope you are listening to me. It's time for you to make a decision of why you started that business. Did you start that business just to make money, or you started that business to be able to get into different places where you got to sell and where you got to do business at so you can bring the light of Jesus into that area? Business people, hope you listen to me. Jesus turned around to those fishermen and said, launch out to the deep because you're about to catch a bunch of fish. Now notice what they said. The fishermen, they said this. They said, look, master, we have toiled. That's survival mode. That's survival mode. They toiled all night. How long have you been toiling on your job? How long have you been toiling in that business? Now, I know God, you say, I know God told me to start this business. I know God opened the door for me to have this business. I know God opened the door for me to get this job, but I'm still struggling. I'm still tall and I'm still having issues. I'm still day after day. I don't like the job no more. Even though God gave it, I don't like the job no more. Even though God told me to start this business, I don't like the business no more. I'm just tired. How long have you been talling? If you make this one shift, that your job, your business, your retirement becomes God's mission field. When those fishermen let Jesus use their boat, their job, their employment, their business became his mission field. And what Jesus did when he came back, he launched into the deep. They had been toiling all night, didn't catch no fish on their efforts. Jesus will make you do better than what you can do by yourself. Whatever your profession is, I don't care if you're a nuclear physicist. If you're a nuclear physicist with Jesus on your mind when you walk into your office, then Jesus will cause you to discover some things about nuclear reaction that ain't nobody else figured out. If you're an accountant, if you, no matter where you are, no matter what position you play, no matter where you are, if you decide to make that your mission field, then Jesus will begin to cause you to perform better. When you, now watch how this works. The system is so crazy. The system is so subpar to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven. When you perform better, They got to pay you better. When you perform better, they got to pay you better. And guess what? If they play crazy and don't pay you better, God will shut it down and pull you somewhere where they will. Let me calm down. I don't mean to be screaming. I'm screaming. I'm hollering. Calm down, Leroy Jean. Calm down. You got to get out of survival mode. How I get out of survival mode and get in kingdom mode? God, what you want with me? God, who am I going to talk to today, God? God, who you want me to minister to today, God? What person that is on their way to heaven that you can use me to snatch them out of hell? The only way to hell, you can use me to snatch them out of hell into heaven. God, who is it today, God? Who is it today, God? Watch this now. Watch this. You cannot do this in the flesh. You cannot do this in the flesh. That's why Romans, the 12th chapter, the second verse, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove or recognize the good and acceptable will of God. This is a daily thing. It has to be, you have to daily spend time with God. Watch this. Go with me to Luke, the 9th chapter. Business people, I hope you caught on to that. When you decide to make your business, people who are employed by somebody, when you decide to make your job your mission field, when you decide to make your business your mission field, you're not afraid to lose a sale when God tells you minister that person. If you're afraid you're going to lose that sale over getting that person born again, then you don't need that sale. You got to be ready to put Jesus Christ in front of all of that. Luke, the 9th chapter. Your client might have called you. You think it was to do business, but you get over there and God say, nah, I need you to minister to him. What you going to do? Oh, what you going to do? Are you going to make the money? Or are you going to do God's business? Because Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you take that, if you get over there and God changed the direction of that one sale, and you get that person born again, you're going to have so many sales that you got to hire people to help you. Catch this. Catch this. Luke, the 5th chapter. Luke, the 5th, watch this. They caught so many fish, they had to beg for their partners. Because they allowed their business to become a mission field. Luke 9:23. Watch this. Jesus said this. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, a lot of claiming to go after Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. The question is, Jesus is your Savior, but the question is he your Lord? Because if he's your Lord, that means he now has control over you. You gave it to him. You yielded to him. He said, watch this. He said, if any man will come after me, let him what? That sounds familiar. Let him what? Deny himself. That sounds familiar. Become a living sacrifice. Living, let him deny himself. What do you mean deny himself? Deny his will. Deny what he wanted. Deny what he thought would happen. I thought I was supposed to be going to handle this transaction, but I see I got there and the Holy Spirit changed the transaction. Am I going to try to force this transaction through, or am I going to die to it? Am I going to deny myself? Am I going to become a living sacrifice? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and do what? Take up his cross. What? Daily. This is a daily thing. This is just not when I'm in trouble thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You see that? This is a daily thing. God, whether I'm in trouble or not, I'm a living sacrifice. God, whether I'm in the position that I want to be in or not, I am a living sacrifice. When you take on that mentality, it is impossible for you to stay in a defeated position. Because God is, he wouldn't be God if you go to work on his behalf and he let you stay where you are. God, watch this. God, it would not be God for you to be on your job and you may be facing racism. You may be facing different prejudices. You may be facing different dislikes. People don't like you. If you're on your job and you make it your mission field and God lets you stay in a position, he's not God. But guess what? That ain't who God is. God will come and be your avenger. But you got to give him a chance. He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow Jesus. Follow his word. Follow his rhema, his live spoken word to you. What are we going to do today, God? God, I'm yielding myself to you. What are we going to do today, God? Who am I talking to, God? Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Let me see this person. Let me see the situation, God. Who you want me to pray with today? God, that's my first and foremost. I'm open for it, God. I'm carrying out the other duties in my life. I'm carrying out my other duties on my job. But God, in between my other duties, let me know who you want me to talk to. God, set it up. And when you set it up, let me know who it is. Because God, I'm coming, I'm a living sacrifice. I don't care how people feel about me no more. I don't care what people think about me no more. Matter of fact, in Romans the 12th chapter, the third verse, the third verse tells you how you ought to think about yourself. He said you're not supposed to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think soberly according to every man the measure of faith. They're part of the assignment. So I think of myself based on what God has told me to do, and I don't care what nobody else say. So if I get ridiculed because I'm a Jesus lover, I'm just going to get ridiculed.
That's right.
They ain't saved me. They can't have me. They ain't got me going to heaven. God got me going. Jesus got me. The price he paid got me going to heaven. The price he paid got me be able to overcome what I can overcome in this life. So make your mind up. Get over the fear. I hope I preach it to you today. Get over your fear. Get over any limitations that Satan may be trying to distract you with. Don't get in all those political debates. For what? Why? Jesus ain't come for none of that no way. They had, who you Republican, Democrat? I'm with Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's who I'm with. I'm with Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's who I'm with. That's who I'm with. Now wherever y'all ideas fall, if it line up with Jesus Christ and you crucified, then you with me. Because I'm not with you. I'm with Jesus. I'm with him. Matter of fact, are you born again? Is Jesus in your heart? Are you getting what I'm saying? Making it your mission field. Not getting involved in all this distractions and whether or not this gonna happen or that gonna happen. What about this and what about that? Should I go protest? Should I not go protest? Listen, all that, it don't even matter. Because listen what? Watch this. In this country, every man has his own agenda. So with every man having his own agenda, it's going to be hard to attach to somebody that agenda keep changing. The agenda changes based on what they want. But when you attach yourself to the agenda of God, it never changes. It remains the same. The results never change. They always put you on top. So I'm just going to decide that I'm going to be with Jesus Christ and him crucified. Accept the challenge, Word of Life. Accept the challenge. I want you to join this Slack app. I want you to look for somebody. Look, I'm about to take all this away. If you don't know how to work your phone, you don't know how to use the Slack app, you do know how to dial a number. You can dial a number here to church and say, hey, I got such and such born again, the age, whatever. Put it down for me. Put it in the Slack app for me. All the staff people on Slack app, call one of us. We'll put it in the Slack app for you because we want you to be involved with what God is doing and what like God, apostle is giving us blood over the doorpost instructions. You want to rise above the foolishness? You want to rise above the fray? Get involved with God's agenda. I hope I'm preaching to you. I feel the Holy Ghost. Go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. And we'll come back to Jeremiah 17, and I'm almost done. Ephesians, the first chapter. I don't care how much of the Word of God you think you don't know. All you need to know is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Start off with that scripture. If you get stumped with that scripture, just get stumped with it. Don't be ashamed. If they get to run around circles around you and go debating, don't worry about debating. Just say, you planted the seed. You might not win everybody to Christ, but you plant a seed. I never forget. I was talking to Troy one time, and he was telling me about one of his relatives that wasn't born again. And he said every time he go talk to her, she'd run around and give him all kind of excuses and all kind of cues. I say, Troy, this is what I do. When I run into somebody who, and Lord tell me, witness to him, I witness to him, and they start running all around and running around and say, well, I just don't. I say, hey, look, do me this favor, one favor. When you're by yourself, nobody else around, I want you to ask this one question. Jesus, are you real?
Come on, child.
Now, when somebody say, Jesus, are you real? God will shut Satan's mouth. He'll shut everybody else's mouth. He'll shut everything going on so that person can realize if Jesus is real or not. He came to me and said, I did that what you told me. And you know what? She said she was up one night. Jesus appeared to her and said, yeah, I'm real. And came to him and got born again. Wow. See, it's about not being ashamed of the gospel. It is the power unto salvation. But the question is, the person can't recognize the power if you don't reveal the power to them. How many people in your circle of influence, as you go about your life, as you carry out your everyday business, as you carry out your job duties, how many people walk by you and on their way to hell? How many walk by you? How many times did the Holy Spirit nudge you? You're going to miss it sometimes. I miss it sometimes. Apostle have mentioned he missed some time. You're going to miss some time, but don't, just because you miss it one time don't mean you got to miss it all the time. You got to miss it all the time. I mean, sometimes catch on. Sometimes just make it. You might not have all the words. Are you born again? Start off somewhere. I want everybody in Word of Life. Everybody in Word of Life. See, when you daily take up your cross, when you daily spend time with the Word of God is being hid in your heart. The more you spend time with God, the more confident you get in who he is and to share him. See, one of the reasons why you fear sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is because you yourself don't know the gospel that good. All you know is you're on your way to heaven. But you hadn't seen God talk to you in the middle of the day. You hadn't had God to come and put his arms around you. Because God can't put his arms around you. Look, my wife can't hug me if I don't spend no time with her. The only way she can put her arms around me is if I'm close. If I'm never there, she can't hug me. If she's never around me, I can't hug her. So some of you have never had God to wrap his arms around you. Just those pages, the letters come off the page. And God just wrap his arm around you, just let you know, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. So when you daily take up your cross, when you daily become a living sacrifice, when you daily spend time with God, you're giving God a chance to wrap his arms around you. You're giving a chance to the Holy Spirit to give you courage that you never thought you had. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. Because I have to go. Almost finished. Now watch what happens. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, in the 5th verse, we read it already, but I'm reading it, so I'm going to read it a little further. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his own, and whose heart or soul or mind departed from the Lord, or not focused on the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land and not inhabit it. So when you trust in man's agenda for your life, when you trust in man's agenda, is it possible for you to be a born-again believer and still trust in man's agenda? Yes, that's called a carnal Christian. When you are born again and you're getting the same results as the world system, you're getting the same results as the world system. Whatever happens in the world system happens to you. That's a carnal Christian. That's somebody who don't spend time with God to let him wrap his arm around them to show how much he's there for them, how much he loves them. They're not nowhere in the vicinity of his presence. Only you got to put yourself in the way of God. You got to put yourself in his presence. Watch this. When good come, you won't be able to see it. Even though you're born again, even though God put you in a certain place, if your focus is not on him, if your focus is on going to that job to make that money, if your focus is on this business to make this money, if your focus is on retirement so that you can just do everything you want to do and your focus is not on him, when good comes, you're going to miss it. All the hell could be breaking loose on the job. All the hell, it could be layoffs. But if you don't focus on what God wants to focus, even though you're born again Christian, good could be coming and you won't see it. All you're going to see is the negative. Now watch this. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope, trust, the Lord is. So what we trust in God for? What are we just trusting him just to trust him? No, we're trusting him because we know when you trust God, then you're able to follow what he says. That's the purpose of trust. Trust is so that you can follow instructions. Chantel married me because she can trust me. I married her because I can trust her. I know what she's going to do in the future. She know what I'm going to do in the future. Because why? We spent time together. So when you spend time with God, you can trust God. What am I trusting God for? That he knows the pathway for my life. That his thoughts for my life are not of evil, but of peace, to give me an expected end. So when I come and talk to God, when I come and reason with him, Isaiah 1 and 18, I come and reason with him, then I can confidently do what he's asking me to do. Because when I do what he asked me to do and I trust it in him, watch what happens. Look at verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not, and watch this, and shall not see when heat cometh. When you trust in God and get involved with God's agenda, when pressure comes, when evil comes, when destruction comes, when layoffs comes, when recession comes, you won't even see it.
Wow.
you'll be oblivious to it. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Shall not be careful. In other words, you ain't got to cut nothing back. You ain't got to stop enjoying life. Because the world's going to say a recession coming, you ain't got to cut back what you enjoy doing. Because you're in the agenda of God. You're there to seek and to save those who are lost. God, your job has become your mission field. Your business has become God's mission field. Your retirement has become God's mission field.
That's
and be not careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Even in a recession, even in this pandemic, you're fruitful. Go over to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now watch this. Word Life, we've been praying this scripture in prayer for a long time. Ephesians, the first chapter. And I'm closing here. Remember now, don't be distracted. Don't get caught up in all that other nonsense. I mean, politics is nothing but what man wants. Yeah, go vote. Yeah, go vote. But don't depend on that. Yeah, I'm going to vote, but I'm not going to depend on that. I don't care who become president. The Bible says we ought to pray for our leaders that it may be peaceable. That wasn't talking to me about it being peaceable for me. It may be, so I'm, the only reason why I'm praying for my leaders is that it may be peaceable for them. Because Jesus is my peace. I'm going to have peace no matter who president. No matter who is my congressman, no matter who is my mayor, no matter who is my governor, I'm going to have peace. Nothing ain't going to be missing in my life. Nothing ain't going to be broken in my life. Everything is going to be together because I'm about God's agenda. Are you about God's agenda? Glory to God. I hope I'm helping you this morning. Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter, the 15th verse. Apostle Paul talking, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Let me rephrase that for you using my word. Watch this. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your assignment in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. Are you seeing that? Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? Watch this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of success, may give unto you, me, us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, what he wants. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you look past all of this foolishness. That you look past all of this nonsense that we have going on in our country, in our world. All this bickering. Even in the church. Should we go to church? Should we not go to church? They trying to stop us from going to church. I'm not going to let them stop us from going to church. None of that even matters. None of that matters. Because guess what? Stop looking at all the negative. One positive thing is we can't do church like we used to. That means you got to get out and be about the Father's business. The Bible says we have been forced out, thrust out. Matthew 9, 37, 38, reading in the Passion Bible. We have been thrust out, forced out into the harvest. So get about the Father's business. Stop arguing about all this stuff. Listen, even if the government comes in and say we can't have church, we faced that before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
We faced this before. Ain't no sense, man, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, what up there arguing with them about whether they're going to praise, whether they're going to bow down to this God or not. They just say, we ain't doing it. So if they come to a point where they're trying to stop us and trying to make laws to stop us from coming to church and really try to, right now it's just people want control. But don't get involved in all that. Don't get in all that fray. Look, we're having church right now. You are hearing the unalterated, pure word of God right now. You hear it every Sunday too. So don't, that's one thing. We ain't got to fuss about that. We ain't got to be arguing with them. We ain't got to worry about the government doing. Because if the government ever try to come against God's church and shut us down, it's going to be some lion's mouth. They're going to be shut. Fire going to burn, going to be taken out of fire. Goliath's going to have to get knocked down again. It's a distraction. Be about the Father's business. That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know, watch this, that we may know what is the purpose of his calling. Not the purpose of what we want. Paul is praying When Paul heard about the assignment in Jesus Christ, he heard about their love for the saints. The first thing he began to pray for God, open their eyes wider. Let them really see what this is all about. So we may know the purpose of his calling, not our calling, not we want, but what his calling, and what the riches of the glory of, I need y'all to say this, what is it? His. Say it with me. His inheritance. A lot of y'all thought I was talking about your inheritance. It's his inheritance. Watch this. His inheritance in the saints. What is his inheritance in you? His inheritance is your energy, your obedience, being yielded to him so that your job, your business, your retirement becomes his mission field so that we can carry out the works that Jesus started off to seek and to save those who are lost. Everything God tells you to do is lead you toward seeking and saving those who are lost. As a matter of fact, when I was reading the book, The Seven Realities of Experiencing God, one of the things the author pointed out, Dr. Henry Blackaby, one of the things he pointed out, he said, stop asking God, what is your will for my life? And begin to say, God, begin to ask God, what is your will? Because when you ask God, what is your will for your life, you limit to only hearing instructions that pertain to you. When you say, God, what is your will for my life? You now got it brought. You brought God. You try to put God in your selfish mode. It's simply, God, what is your will? And I want to be involved in it. So now it opens up your soul. It opens up your heart to begin to hear instructions from God that might not necessarily take care of your immediate problem. But as soon as you do what God is asking you to do, it gives God permission to come in and take care of your immediate problem. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working? Now watch this. He's about to give us an example of what kind of power he has given us. He's about to give us an example of what the power is capable of. The same power that he's about to explain to us resides in us for the purpose of what? Seeking and saving those who are lost. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God's saying the same power that I gave Jesus to become the head of the church, what's in the head comes in the body. The same power that he has, you have. And it's only going to be released when you're about his agenda. I'm going to say that again. The only way that power is going to be released fully in your life to where you are conquering everything in your life is when you yield your life to God's agenda to seek and save those who are lost. The only other reason for the power to be released is for your selfish reasons. God ain't releasing the power for your selfish reasons. He just ain't doing it. God didn't change his mind with Adam and Eve. He's not changing his mind with you. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. Either you get your information from me or you can get it from somewhere else. Adam and Eve made that choice. God said, you can't stay here like that. You got to go. So if he ain't changed his mind with his first two creations, what makes you think he's going to change his system for you? The power will only be fully released in your life when you yield yourself to his agenda, to seek and to save those who are lost. Have you downloaded the app yet? Have you downloaded the Slack app? Have you adhered to our apostles' blood over doorpost instructions? Because you want the power to work in your life. You want the power to work in your life, but have you downloaded the Slack app? Are you prepared to, when you go out this afternoon, are you prepared to run across somebody's path? Say, do you know Jesus? Are you born again? Are you prepared? Last scripture, Ephesians the 6th chapter. Watch this. Have you downloaded the app yet? Put the app on the lower third. Put it on the lower third. See, show them how they can download it. Some of them will download it right now. I hear them asking me, how I download it, Leroy Jean? How I download it? Well, I'm about to show you right now. Put it on the lower third. Somebody give me a notification it's on the lower third. Is it on the lower third? Is it on the lower third? It's on there? All right, it's on the lower third. Go ahead and download the Slack app. Get involved. I want to see your name tomorrow. I want to see you, even if you don't get nobody born again, I want you to get involved and shout with the other Christians as somebody get born again. Yeah, to get involved, see what's going on, see what's happening, see other people getting born again, and to give you, and you, I want to get involved, I want to do something, I want to put a name on here. So now you're going about your day, and your day had, thank you, Holy Spirit, your day has become God's mission field. You daily taking up your cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So if Christ, which he has, he's living on the inside of us, if Christ were to take your body over, if Christ would, because he's not going to take it over unless you yield to him, but he was to come in and he was to possess you and take you over, what you think Jesus would be doing? He'd be going about his day seeking those who are lost. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the assignment of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because Jesus did what he did on the cross, I'm able to do what I'm doing now. I'm empowered to seek and to save those who are lost because he died on the cross. And I accepted him as my Savior. So now the same power he had to die on the cross, I have that same power to take up my cross daily. To seek and to save those who are lost. Ephesians 6 chapter, last scripture. Ephesians 6 chapter. Verse 16. Watch what verse 16 says. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. What's the first two words? Above all. The Apostle Paul saying, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me use my word. Above all, taking the shield of your assignment, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, taking the shield of your assignment, your instructions from God, God's agenda, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. Now, here's the thing. Why would we need a shield? Why do you need a shield if you're not going into battle? Why would you need a shield if you're not going into battle? If I'm not supposed to go into the kingdom of darkness and begin to snatch people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light, why do I need a shield? So what is my shield? My shield is my assignment, my instruction from God. When I make my job, my business, my retirement, when I make that my mission field, it becomes my protection. That I can go into the kingdom of darkness. I can go into this job where I may be facing racism, where I may be facing some other foolishness, where I may be facing where they won't give me a promotion or this job or business, where certain people won't give me their business. I can face that and I'll be protected. Who is the protection? Who is my protection? God is my protection. So therefore, I can walk to where he placed me and know I'm protected. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you. His rod and his staff comfort you. So I'm able to walk into my mission field fully clothed because I know I've spent time with God. I've heard from God. I've spent time with him. So nothing they can do to me can stop me. Nothing they can do to me can discourage me. I will ignore all distractions and be about the Father's business. Hope you heard me this morning. All that is distractions. All that stuff, everything, back to what the angel told Joshua. I'm with the Lord of hosts. That's who I'm with. The Apostle Paul said, I don't know nothing among y'all save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If it ain't helping me seek and to save those who are lost, I'm not getting involved with it. If it's going to hurt me from seeking and saving those who are lost, if it's going to cause me to lose my witness, I'm not getting involved with it. I'm not going to get involved with it. If it's going to cause Jesus to be hidden in my life, I'm not getting involved with it. I'm not getting in that argument. I'm not getting in that debate. If it's going to cause Jesus to be hidden in my life, I ain't got nothing to do with it. You may be watching this broadcast for the first time, maybe watching this live stream for the first time, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is your opportunity. Saints, I want you to stretch your hands toward the screen and begin to pray with me. Some may be watching and don't know who Jesus is. It might be somebody you invited. I want you to pray. Stretch your hands toward the screen and begin to pray. Jesus died on the cross just for you. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live under the pressures of this world system, under the pressures of our various political system, under the pressure of various people. You don't have to live under that. Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you can be free from all of that. He died so he can erase all of your past mistakes, all of your past sins. The Bible says God will throw them in a sea of forgetfulness. He'll wipe all your sins away. You'll become a new creature in Christ, where your future will become brighter. The decision you make right now in this present moment will determine whether your future is bright. If you never prayed that prayer, I want you to pray it with me. In this prayer, I want you to know what you're going to pray. In this prayer, we're going to ask Jesus. We're going to acknowledge that God is supreme. We're going to acknowledge that he sent his son Jesus. The Bible says you must believe in your heart, but you also must confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's what we're going to do in this prayer. We're going to ask God to forgive us of all our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we're going to invite Jesus into our heart. Are you ready to pray that prayer? Let's do it now. Say, Father, I recognize I'm a sinner. I believe, God, that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. God, I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I'm asking you to come live on the inside of me. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. God, thank you for accepting me into the family, into your family, God. You are my Father. I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I got two things I want you to do for me. Number one, I want you to click that subscribe button on YouTube, hit the notification bell so that you can be notified when Apostle Thompson has new content that comes out. If you're watching by Vimeo, I want you to follow us on Vimeo. You can follow us, Apostle Leroy Thompson, and you can click the follow button and you'll be alerted when new content come out. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to text the word born again to the number 225-230-2234. Text the word born again to 225-230-2234. I'm going to send you a digital pamphlet that explains salvation, the prayer you just prayed. It'll have a prayer in that very, very similar to what we just prayed. But more importantly, it'll give you the benefits of salvation. It'll give you all what you've just done, how you become a new creature in Christ. And I want you to begin to follow us on YouTube and Vimeo and begin to take in the content that's on that channel so that you can begin to learn more about God. Because the more you learn about God, the more you learn about yourself. The more you learn about yourself, you'll see how empowered, how much power you have to begin to seek and save those who are lost. And you can be involved in God's agenda.